I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily community meditation, where today we're talking about push and pull. Push and pull. I've been thinking about this idea. On these daily community meditations, one of the concepts we've talked about consistently is the idea of becoming magnetic. And think about how do magnets work? You got a positive and a negative side, and you try to put the two sides that are the same together, and they begin to repel each other. It's the opposites that begin to attract and begin to create that magnetism that begins to pull each other closer. When you have two of the same, it begins to push away. Two opposites begin to pull together. And so I've been thinking about this concept because it seems to be just something I've observed in life. Often we get these goals or dreams or visions, things that we want to accomplish in life. And it seems like the more we try to push at them, the more we try to force and effort and push to reach those goals, it's almost like they're repelled away. It's like the more you push towards them, the more they get pushed away from you. But then there's another way to live. And that's learning to live by grace. It's learning to live by resting and trusting in God. As we rest and trust in Him, we focus on Him. Think about Jesus. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you." All the things that we typically push after will get pulled to us when we rest and we trust and we seek after Him. We're going to go in the opposite direction. And now all those things are pulled to us rather than getting repelled away from us as we push toward them. It's just an interesting concept. I've seen it play out over and over. For example, my wife and her business, they had some people that were really pushing to get a promotion. They're really pushing to get to the next level. They wanted this promotion, and they're very vocal about it, and they're pushing towards it. But none of those people were the ones who got it. The ones who were focused on just doing a good job today, doing a good job, making the most of where they currently were, all of a sudden the promotion got pulled into their lives. There's a little bit different way of thinking about how we achieve our goals. And I think a lot of it goes back to one of the concepts we talk about on these daily communion meditations regularly. Every day we talk about, are we making today a masterpiece? If we focus on showing up today, showing up the right way, and making today a masterpiece by staying connected with God, it just begins to pull all these things into our lives. Becomes a beautiful thing. But why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir the sacrifice of Jesus into our remembrance, to make His sacrifice active and relevant right now, today, in this present moment. Helps us to abide in Christ so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, it's proving the death or proclaiming the death that activates all of the benefits. Nothing happens until you prove the death. So as we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which is like an activation for all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to stir it into our mind and emotions and remembrance, and combine it with something practical and physical in the cracker and juice. And we're uniting spirit, soul, physical, body together, all into one. This common union, combining them together as one, becoming one with God, just a symbolic time of that communion with God. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every day to take it with the fear of the Lord, just that honor and reverence and deep respect for Him, for all that He's done for us, all that He's made available for us in Christ. And just taking it with joy and delight that we get to come together with God today, to be unified with Him today. So the process we typically use for these communions, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. How are we doing today? Are we making today a masterpiece? Are we walking out those things that we know to do? And then after our time of communion lately, we've been talking about some physical workout, stuff, advice, as a way to connect with God. I believe physical exercise is just a physical expression of what it's supposed to be like to exercise our faith. And we can use exercise as a way to practice that, to practice connecting with God, receiving that grace by faith, and getting His grace flowing through us where He's doing the work, to learn how to rest and allow God to do the work. And you can feel Him doing that work through you. And as we understand how to apply our faith into that, it teaches us how to apply our faith into every other area of life, because the principles are the same. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today. And help us be sensitive to those opportunities and to make the most of those opportunities you're sending our way today. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so let's get into the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. Are we making today a masterpiece? We're going to create that bigger magnet and just begin to pull. These are the four fundamentals. I believe we execute these four fundamentals, it's going to help to build a bigger magnet that just pulls more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. Executing these four fundamentals and making them fun, bringing some energy and some presence and some fun into these four things of getting positioned in the light, magnifying the light, staying tuned in today for God's leading and direction, and then taking action, doing those things that we know to do, and doing them together in partnership with God. So our first one, we got to take our position in the light today. We're going to build this bigger magnet. We're going to get that grace flowing through us, beautifying our life. We got to take our position in the light. This is the on-off switch. Either it's on or it's off. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. To be positioned in the light is to be positioned in humility. Willing to grow, willing to change, willing to repent, willing to say we're sorry, willing to honor other people, willing to submit to God in our lives. Because it's the grace, it's the humble, if I can get my words out here, it's the humble who are given grace. That grace and forgiveness, we're going to receive it from God. We're going to forgive ourselves, walk in grace with ourselves, take the pressure off of ourselves. We're going to walk in forgiveness and grace with other people today. We're going to take our position in love, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, always focused on being externally focused. How can I do good? How can I be a blessing today? We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise, one of the greatest expressions of faith, just gratitude and praise. And when we take our position, what are we getting positioned into? What's in the light? God has taken everything he wanted to give Jesus. He's taken everything he has and he's given it to Jesus. And we get to be in him. In Christ is God's spirit and power and presence, his love, his peace, his joy, his kindness and goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control, you name it. It's all in there. His mind and wisdom, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. His health and energy, we become part of his family. We've got purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Got an eternal purpose to walk out with God today. His time, his finances, his kingdom, you name it. It's all in there. We have access to it today. All this can flow in our lives today. But then we're going to start to magnify it. Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. To magnify the light, we're going to make it bigger and greater. We're going to grow this thing on the inside of us to expand the capacity where God can flow more and more of all those good things through us. And to magnify, it's all about what we're focused on. Where is our focus and attention throughout the day? What are we thinking about? What are we talking about? What are we meditating on? What are we rolling over in our mind and toiling over in our mind throughout the day? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Be thinking about it, be talking about it, be studying it diligently. His unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our right standing with God. That because of Jesus, we're right with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. Can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got treasure in jars of clay. Can magnify what's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and all the things that are going well. The Bible tells us to set our minds on those things. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. Rather, it's fully acknowledging them. It's bringing those problems and issues, bringing the giants into the light. Looking at him right in the eye and saying, you know what? You might look big. You might look like an issue or problem, but God is bigger. I'm going to magnify God as bigger than the issue and the problem. And I'm going to choose not to make that issue or problem any bigger than it really is. Choosing to magnify God instead. But he does give us a choice. He gives us free will. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, looking out for ourselves, venting, complaining, focusing on all the ways that we've been wrong, all the little things that people do to us to annoy us and push our buttons, to slight us, offend us, whatever it may be. We can magnify the issues and the problems. We can stay stuck living in the past, worrying about the future. And for a lot of people, I think it's not that they're trying to choose darkness. They just don't know all that's been made available. They don't know all that's been made available. Maybe they got some habits or patterns where they're habitually focused on the issues and problems and these types of things. And they feel all the weight and the pressure because they don't realize how much God wants to help. And so they feel like all that weight and pressure is on them to figure it out. And they just haven't learned to rest in the soul and give it over to God. One of the most important things we can learn. So this is where we got to recognize those symptoms. When we're positioned in darkness, when we're magnifying darkness, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people, to snap at people, to withhold good things we know we should be doing because they did that to me. They said that to me. I'm not going to do that for them. Might be the tendency to avoid people, to withdraw our presence, to give them the silent treatment. Then on the inside, you'll feel that heaviness and weight and pressure just sitting on you. Might feel hopeless for our situation, like you're trapped or you're stuck or you're helpless, seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom. I like to think of being positioned in darkness and magnifying darkness like a black hole. It just sucks the energy out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future. Might be confusion about what to do, which steps to take, because when we're in the darkness, can't see. You get stuck in these vicious cycles that just seem to keep repeating over and over. But when we take our position in the light, there is this rest in our soul. And the more we magnify it, the more this rest grows. And when we rest, God goes to work. When we rest, God goes to work and everything is free and easy and effortless because I got his energy and his spirit and his peace and his joy and his love and his mind all flowing through us. Now all of a sudden we got hope in any and every situation. He just begins to effortlessly set us free, break us free of bad habits, bad patterns, things we've been stuck in, ways of thinking that maybe are not good, thought patterns, all these types of things. And if all that weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it back around, to get right back into the light again. Because one of our biggest challenges is sustaining our positioning and our attention and our focus of what we're magnifying. Life's going to throw stuff at you today. People are going to do stuff. People are going to say stuff. Issues and problems are going to come your way. It's a matter of sustaining your positioning and our focus. If we ever get off track, it just takes a second to get it right back. How do we do it? We change our focus. Number one, Father, forgive me. We start with humility. Father, forgive me. You receive that forgiveness from him. We walk in forgiveness and grace with ourselves. We reconcile with other people if need be. Let me just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love, that he's more than enough. And you'll feel that shift on the inside. You'll feel that weight lift off you on the inside. You feel your energy levels rise up and that faith and that courage rise up. You feel that peace and the joy and the love just begin to flow through you again, washing over you on the inside. And then we're going to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to lead us and train us and guide us, but we've got to stay tuned in, listening for him. Proverbs 8, blessed is the man who waits daily in my doorway, listening for me. Blessed is that person. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. I like to start with gratitude and praise to get positioned. Then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are the ways I saw God showing up today? What wins did I have today? Then I like to ask this question. God, what are you trying to show me today? Is there anything I missed? And then I'll just write down whatever comes into my mind. Just write it down. Reflect back over the day and write it down. Just get still for a few minutes. Then we're going to stay tuned in to God throughout the day. Got to stay connected to him because he may course correct our path. He may navigate us around some things as we go throughout the day. Stay plugged into him. You ever feel like you're losing that connection? Just take a minute or two. Doesn't take long. Just take a minute or two to slow down, take a couple of deep breaths, get back connected to him again. Then we're ever unsure on something, don't know what to do next, don't know which direction to go, just ask him. Just ask him and then wait until you know. But something I've learned, there were times when I asked God, but then I didn't wait until I know. And I got ahead of him and I made some mistakes and I had to go back and redo a bunch of stuff because I didn't wait for him to show me. So ask him and then wait until you know. So the last thing I like to do in my journal before bed is to plan out the upcoming day with God. Ask this question, God, what's on your plan for the next day? And then I make my plan. What do I know to do today? What do I know to do today? Not the things I'm unclear of or uncertain of. What do I know to do today? Is there anything on my to-do list? Anything I know needs to get done? Anything that keeps just popping up on the inside? Like, oh, I keep meaning to do that, but I keep putting it off. Anything in your conscience? Anything been procrastinating on? Anything I have a leading or excitement from God to do? And we write it out, and then we wake up in the morning like a kid on Christmas morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. First thing in the morning, we're going to get positioned, get connected to him, start praising and magnifying him, get connected to him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together in partnership. We're going to do those things that we know to do. And sometimes you'll find yourself as you walk out the day, you're like, huh. What do I do next? And then I ask this question, what do I know to do right now? What do I know to do? And then almost always there's something, you're on your way again. We're going to walk out this plan with a willing heart, with a good attitude and full confidence in him. Talking about magnetism today, this idea right here, confidence. It's that state where all the doubt is removed. You got everything going in the same direction. All those doubts, all those things that are pulling you back have been removed. And when you get to this place of confidence, confidence, not in ourselves, confidence in God, that's when the magnetism kicks in, I think. That's when the magnetism kicks in. And when you get this grace flowing through, you got it all going in the same direction. Just begins to beautify our lives. God is the source of beauty. And begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. Let's talk about this push and pull. Unfortunately, most of us are taught all of our lives to push, to force, to grind away, to effort our way to our goals and to success and these types of things. And I don't want to diminish hard work, taking action, doing the things that you know to do. We're going to do those things, but from a completely different place mentally. The Apostle Paul says, I worked harder than anybody. I worked harder than anybody, but it wasn't me. It was God's grace. It was God's energy that so powerfully worked within me. And so it's learning to pull back a little bit, to rest and to trust, to do those things that we know to do and allow God to do the work through us. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and stop worrying about all those other things. Focus on doing a good job today and stop pushing and forcing and efforting our way toward things. That's not grace. If we get to those things, now we're going to say it was by our own efforts that we did it, not by God's grace. We seek first the kingdom of heaven. We rest in him. You may work harder than ever, but it's working while also resting in your soul. And that's what we're after. So we're going to take communion over this today, just asking for God's help to get this right. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you, to have you in our lives. And we thank you for all that you and Jesus went through to connect us back to you for this new covenant. And we're asking for your help today to help us to understand, to grow in wisdom and understanding and knowledge of how to apply these principles into our life, of this magnetism of pushing and pulling, learning to rest and trust in your grace. Just asking for help with that today, Lord. Help us to walk this out the way you designed it to function. Something I've learned is just a lot of it about is about where is the pressure? Is the pressure all on you? Are you putting pressure on other people to force things to happen? Or is the pressure on God? Where is the pressure? One of the biggest differences in the two is just which direction is the pressure applied? I like to think of it like a garden hose, is what I teach my kids. When all the pressure is on you, it's like a kink in the garden hose that blocks the flow. Same thing, you put the pressure on people, blocks the flow. When we put the pressure on God, it squeezes everything he has out through us. So Father, we thank you for this bread. Then on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he said, "Take it. Receive it, that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice." Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's the forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. I believe as we experience this happening, we learn to rest and trust and just experience God pulling everything into our life. Just helps us to know him that much more. His goodness and his grace and his love that much more. So Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out today. Let's practice today. Practice resting in Him. Practice resting in Him today. Still working, but working while at rest in Him. Let's talk about a little bit of workout stuff here. Talk about accelerate and control. Let's talk about the way you're lifting weights. Let's talk about the way you handle resistance. So I want you to think about it. If you're doing on our daily workouts that we've got some exercises like push-ups or squats or deadlifts or shoulder presses, these types of things. And in all those exercises, one of the things I want you to focus on, if you don't have the workouts, if you go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com, if you get onto our email list on the daily emails that come with the communion meditations, you'll also get our daily communion workout that goes along with it. But on all those exercises, I want you to think about on your way up, think about like you're going up a hill. I want you to focus on accelerating. Accelerating. If you're brand new, start a little slower with this, but gradually over time, work on your ability to accelerate as you're going up. And then as you come down, I want you to be under control. Nice and controlled on the way down, and then accelerate back up on the way up. Under control on the way down, accelerate on the way back up. It's going to build some speed and power. In Colossians, there's this verse that says we would be strengthened with all power so that we would have all endurance. So when you get more powerful, acceleration is a form of power. When we get more powerful, we get strengthened, but we also get endurance at the same time. By focusing on getting more powerful and accelerating, we get both strength and endurance at the same time. It's a pretty powerful thing. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.